an educational odyssey. Joining us now is a mother that's also an attorney. And 2 out of 3 U.S. families are impacted by the addiction and overdose epidemic. And if you don't think this is true, you're living with your head in the sand. This opioid problem, this drug addiction problem in this country is rampant. It's in small town America. And if you drive down Mass Ave in Boston and you get off the highway and you get off 93, you will see clusters of young, middle-aged, and old people, all colors, races, and sizes, stumbling on the streets, waiting to get relief from a program that cannot accommodate all of them at Boston Medical Center. It is frightening. These were mothers with children that were working members of society. These were fathers. These are brothers, husbands, cousins, friends. You all know who they are, because it's a problem that's not going away. And joining us today to discuss all of this is attorney Colleen Cowles, but more importantly, a parent. And Colleen, it is such a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Frankie. It's great to be here. And I want to thank you for what you're doing on this program, because in my world, there's a lot of misery that's caused by lack of information. So I'm just really thrilled with what you're putting out there. And I learned from your last segment. So.
Thank you. So you have a 20-hour online course, and it's called 20 Steps to Freedom When Someone You Love Is Addicted to Drugs. So take your attorney hat off for just a moment and put the mom hat on. Mm-hmm. And tell us, if you wouldn't mind sharing your story.
Well, the reason that I did the course definitely comes from my personal story, and then it expands with professional work with families. But we have two sons that had addiction issues, and they ended up going down very different paths strictly because of the policies that they fell into. One successfully avoided the criminal justice system, the other fell into it. Thankfully, both of them are doing well at this point, but until the personal experience, I really thought, as an attorney, I understood drug policy and I understood the basics of addiction. And then when it hit us personally, I realized that I really had no clue. And unfortunately, I think that that's the case with so many professionals in the area. Not that they're not very proficient at what they're doing, but they see one piece of it. And it's really difficult until you're personally impacted to really understand the cascade effect of the policies and the stigma and so much of what's out there. So addiction, what I learned is that so much of addiction is based on trauma and isolation. And so much of what we do as a society, and particularly the criminal justice system, is adding stigma and adding trauma, beginning with the way we treat cannabis. Because if we turn a teen into basically a criminal because they're picked up with a small amount of cannabis, that truly changes their perception of themselves, and with a criminal record, it can change their opportunities moving forward. And then at the same time, as parents, we're told that if a child has addiction issues, that we should let them hit bottom, that they should just say no. So we have a dysfunctional system, and then the people that would typically be advocating are told not to do anything.
Right.
So that's where I believe that the course was needed, just to walk parents through how to protect themselves, but also how to improve the chances for their kids.
You know, we have such a messed up system right now. Unfortunately, you have some politicians that really believe that all forms of cannabis, including the CBD, which you don't even get high from,
yes,
is bad for you, and it can be a gateway drug. What they're not understanding is right in front of us, we have a substance that, I keep saying this because it's so true, will change the economic future of this country, will change industry with hemp products, industrial hemp products, will change the farming industry, and more importantly, will change addicts' lives, because CBD, and this is so frustrating to get through to these politicians, they don't want to hear it, they don't want to see it, they don't want to believe it, because they're stuck in their own little boxes. But CBD could be the answer, could be the transition to help.
It absolutely can.
And
the government studies themselves show that. With CBD, there was a study done with rats, and the test was whether it would keep them from going to heroin. And that particular study didn't keep the rats from going to the, you know, the little knob that they could push to get heroin. But if the rats had been off of heroin for a short period of time in recovery, they no longer, with CBD, they no longer went to the heroin receptacle. So
that's right,
for
the cravings change.
Reducing cravings, and if we can minimize the risk of relapse in this country, that's huge. And it's huge on a lot of different levels, because relapse itself is a horrible thing. People get their hopes up, but unfortunately a lot of times relapse is part of the journey to long-term recovery. But because of our policies, if someone relapses, it's very likely that they're going to end up in jail.
That's right.
If they're on the traditional medications that are now available that cut risk of overdose in half, but they're, you know, some of those are still pretty strong medications, and I support those, but if they're put in jail because they relapse, a lot of times those medications, prescription medications, are taken away from them, and they actually go through withdrawal from prescription medications in jail, and then when they're released, even from a short-term jail stay, they're 12 times more likely to overdose. And sometimes those jail stays are because they couldn't afford to pay a fine. So if we could switch to using CBD to minimize that risk of relapse, it's not only the relapse itself, but it's that cascade effect of our horrific policies that could literally save lives and also keep people out of prison.
You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the penal system is a mess as it is because of the offense of cannabis to begin with, and making it a class one drug. It's just, it's frustrating. But
we're making some progress on that, I would like to think. I'm sure you're aware of the legislation right now that's being promoted. I don't know if it will pass or not, but we do have the Marijuana Justice Act right now that's been introduced on the federal level.
Tell us about that.
Tell
us about that act. I'm not familiar with it, please.
If it was passed, and you know, it's always a long shot, and been trying to get marijuana off of Schedule One for a long time, but this is a little bit different. We even have John Boehner's support on the Marijuana Justice Act.
Yeah.
So what it would do is it would remove cannabis from Schedule One, and it would eliminate all criminal penalties related to cannabis, and that's even the distribution. It would penalize states that have disproportionate arrest and incarceration rates for cannabis, and it would expunge the convictions for cannabis use and possession.
Wow.
So we've got all kinds of people that are sitting
in
prison long term, and it would expunge those records.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
If listeners are supportive of that, contact your representatives and your senators.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Marijuana Justice Act.
So as a mother, I just want to go back. As a mother who has watched drugs blow up and could have killed and destroyed your family. When we come back, I would love for you to share some advice that you have for mothers and fathers, for family members who are wondering, what do I do? What's next? So if you wouldn't mind doing that when we come back. We're talking today to attorney Colleen Cowles. It's ColleenCowles.com is her website, and she has an online course that it's pretty phenomenal. It's called 20 Steps to Freedom When Someone You Love Is Addicted to Drugs. And unfortunately, it's a very important subject that's affecting so many people. We'll be right back. I'm Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey. Welcome back. This is Cannabis Talk A to Z with Frankie Boyer, an educational odyssey. And joining us today is attorney Colleen Cowles, and she's also a parent. And her online course is called 20 Steps to Freedom When Someone You Love Is Addicted to Drugs. And so, Colleen, welcome back. It's such a pleasure. You're so articulate and so informative. And so, but parents that are listening, what do you suggest? What do you recommend to them?
Well, there's really a sequential way of approaching this, which can be important because it can be just overwhelming, and you can feel very alone when you're going through these things. There's actually a free 1 hour online course at SurviveYourChildsAddiction.com, and that takes parents through 7 steps. But let's just touch base on those. The very first one is, let's keep them alive. So parents can do some things that will minimize the risk of overdose. Now, there's no guarantees. You can't protect your children from everything, and we can't control what they do. But carrying Narcan, a nasal spray, in our purse can save our child or someone else's life.
You know, Colleen,
test strips.
Colleen, there were 2 prisoners that were being transported from their sentencing from one jail to another jail and ready to go to the prison. And they overdosed in the van. And thank goodness there was the spray that the officers used to save their lives.
Yeah, and hopefully all officers and all EMTs carry it. They don't. It's worth checking with your community to see if they do carry it. But it's very easy to use. It's basically a nasal spray. We've also had an increase in fentanyl overdose deaths.
Oh,
in the last
terrible.
3 years, it's increased
yes.
by 540%. For $2 online, you can get a test strip where you can test a drug to see if there's fentanyl in it. Now, is it ideal that someone is using drugs with fentanyl? No, but let's keep them alive, and that gives us the opportunity to get them to recovery.
Practical
the other
practical but brilliant,
yep.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is really important for parents is to get enough information to be able to really make decisions about how the parent feels. Because it is really difficult. A child going through addiction can be incredibly difficult to live with or to be around, to the point of sometimes being dangerous. And so it's really difficult for a parent to be consistent in the decisions they make if they're vacillating between, is this just my child making bad decisions? Is it a choice? What's the history as far as the medical aspects of it? So that the parent can make an informed decision. And at that point, it makes it easier if the parent decides that medical care really is important. Then it's a lot easier to be consistent and in advocating for your child to get medical care, for example. I worked with one parent that had been ready to throw her son out, went through my materials and contacted me and said, I finally got medical treatment. He's autistic and he was self-medicating. So now yeah. we can actually get some real treatment. And yes, there was an addiction problem there, but there were also co-occurring disorders that needed to be dealt with. So having information takes some of the emotion out of it and really helps the parent as far as figuring out what to do and also getting past that guilt and, you know, all of the baggage that goes with it. Is there something that I did, which is unproductive at this point? It's worth looking at what can we do.
Right.
But the other thing is finding the right treatment, because parents tend to be so desperate that they're just looking for, most treatment decisions are based on where can I find a bed, or who will take him or her, or
yes,
what is the court order. So there are ways of really researching what treatment makes sense, and that might not be the most expensive either, so you can save some money there. And then the other big part of things is taking care of yourself as a parent, both financially, emotionally, and legally. Things like knowing where money maybe should be spent if it's available, and what really is a complete waste of money. Protecting yourself emotionally, really, again, understanding what the background is and how you can help, but also living your own life. And legally, parents have lost their homes because allegedly there was something illegal going on the property, and in some jurisdictions that's enough to lose your home. So knowing those rules is really important.